interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And it is a hump day Wednesday, March 13 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next 2 hours, we got you, bringing you home from inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Over the course of the next 2 hours, we're going in on a huge deal in the NFL. We'll update you on every little move the Saints are making and one big one they refuse to make. Looks like they missed out by $500,000. I've got my thoughts on that. And we've got a bevy of great guests as well. I'll let you know all about it at the end of our opening segment. But before I jump in to Jarvis and Odell reunited, we have to begin the show passing on our very heartfelt condolences to LSU baseball head coach Paul Maneri. In case you're just seeing the news, Paul's father, Demi Maneri, getting pronunciation right, my apologies, Demi passed away in Baton Rouge this morning at the age of 90 years old. He had an incredible baseball coaching career of his own. At one point, he was part of a national junior college ranks national championship team. 1964, was named to the All-Century team for the NJCAA. So again, for Demi Maneri and his legacy, which now includes his son Paul, our heartfelt condolences. Again, yesterday the Tigers lost the baseball game in Natchitoches. Tonight they're going to play one at home against Texas Southern, and all of that, I think, very much secondary to this news that's just come out earlier today. So for Paul Maneri and the Maneri family, you're in our thoughts and our prayers. I'll move on from that. We'll take your phone calls about a huge move that's got a couple of LSU wide receivers back running in the same route patterns. Jarvis, Odell, playing together for one of the most historically irrelevant franchises in the history of American professional sports. Whenever you're ready to weigh in, we got time. 706-0111. What we know is that Odell, 26 years old, now is going to be on a 5-year deal with the Browns, average annual base salary of $14 million and some change. What we also know is Odell is not only being reunited with Jarvis Landry, but receivers coach Adam Henry, who had both of those young men while they came through the turnstiles in Baton Rouge. What else we know? I think there are two things. Number one, the Giants are ready to hit the reset button in the worst way. Getting rid of everyone whose name is not Eli Manning, or a pretty talented young running back who kind of took the league by storm last year. And he probably regrets the fact that he ended up in New York coming out of Penn State. But sooner than later, he'll have his say. Sooner than later, I think they'll rebuild around another quarterback. But Dave Gettleman's got a long road to hoe, as it looks like Cleveland certainly got the better of the deal with the New York Giants late last night. But that's one of the additional things we know. The Giants are rebuilding. They're getting rid of everyone. Odell Beckham, Olivier Vernon, anybody who can play. Landon Collins, for the most part. Like I said, it's really just their backfield at this point. The other thing that I believe we could take away from this, suddenly, players in the NFL are starting to make their own moves. And they're starting to have their way when it comes to front offices. Boy, that takes some getting used to for me. For example, I for one am a bit surprised by what happened over the weekend with Antonio Brown. You want to leave? Okay. You want more money, more guaranteed? Okay. They arrange a deal for you to go to Buffalo. You don't want to go? Okay. You want to go to Oakland and that is permitted? That is a lot of different obstacles that if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers front office, you had to navigate. And you did it all so that a player at his beck and call can get what he wants. A disgruntled player at that within your organization. I don't think I'm alone in being surprised that AB got to call his own shot in this whole thing. This time last year, Le'Veon Bell certainly didn't want to be in Pittsburgh, but he didn't get everything he wanted. A little different situation there. His thing was more adjacent to what Jimmy Graham dealt with in New Orleans with the franchise tag, right? Didn't want to play under it, sat out, showed he wasn't playing around, and it didn't matter. But what's very interesting to me is that less than a week after Antonio Brown got what he wanted, Odell Beckham Jr. is getting everything that he wants. He's getting out. He's going to play, God help me for saying this, for more of a contender, at least in Cleveland, than what the New York Giants were, quote-unquote, building. And he gets to play with Jarvis Landry, which you know was top of mind for him. The two of them, from everything I've observed, have been working on this as much as players can through back channels for years. But the NFL, for many of us, never felt like it was going the route of the NBA, where the super friends could assemble, where they could play with one another because they wanted to. That's just not the way the NFL historically has worked. So I don't know about you, but I'm fairly surprised at the events of the last 5 days, 4.5 to 5 days. Diva wide receivers, which I think to an extent definitely describes OBJ, sort of could describe AB. Diva wide receivers are calling the shots, and the organizations that are dispatching them, jettisoning these players, aren't exactly getting the better end of the deal every time out of the box. They're just getting rid of malcontents. And in a way, I think Pittsburgh and New York definitely did that as well. But as you spin it forward, you've all seen the changing landscape in Vegas over the events of last night. The Browns went from something like 30-1 odds to win the Super Bowl next February to 14-1 odds. And on the other side of this opening break, I'm going to test the temperature, test the waters a little bit, just how good you think that Cleveland could become. A second-year starting quarterback in Baker Mayfield, a couple of guys that, when they played together at LSU, were 1,000-yard receivers in the same season. If only Metro were available. Oh, wait a minute. Dude's actually playing now in a football league that Clint watches, and I don't. Maybe Mettenberger could be available as a backup in Cleveland. Might not be the worst idea in the world. But on the other side of this break, I'm going to see just how serious you think these new-look Cleveland Browns could end up being. And who would have thought, right in the middle of March, the Cleveland Browns are actually a big-time relevant topic. Speaking of big time, we got a lot of those caliber guests today. Brian Snow coming your way at 4:30, a national look at the college basketball scene, his favorite conference tournament, at least the one he's looking forward to the most over the course of the next week. And with Gonzaga losing last night, where might they be seated in the big dance? So Brian Snow will join us at 4:30. We're going to New Orleans at 5:05. Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports, to talk Saints free agency. And at 5:45, we go to Baton Rouge. Justin Vincent of the Tiger Athletic Foundation, his take on Jarvis and OBJ, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and LSU spring football. Locked and loaded on a Wednesday. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Iron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, bouncing over to some basketball conversation. You're dialed in to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. It's a hump day. We're right smack dab in the middle of our 4 o'clock hour, and you know who's coming aboard. Right now, he's on the Ardco Equipment Hotline, Brian Snow, college basketball recruiting analyst. How are you, B. Snow?
I'm tremendous. How are you doing?
I love that answer. We're doing pretty well over here, too. We're all probably collectively doing a little better than Gonzaga after last night. So they fall to St. Mary's. Hey, that probably helps LSU street cred a little bit. But as far as the Zags, what do we make of them now and how they might fit into the seeding come Sunday?
My guess is they'll get a number one, but I think they're going to get the fourth number one. Whereas had they beaten St. Mary's, they had a legit chance at the number one overall seed, although beating Virginia out would be tough. Here's the reality. I think Gonzaga is a really good team, but they were absolutely awful last night. I mean, Josh Perkins, Zach Norvell, their starting backcourt, was just atrocious. And, you know, Mama said there'll be days like that. You know, you just got to move on and say that's not going to happen again. But it doesn't change my evaluation of Gonzaga as a team. I still think they're a one seed, but there's no denying they were awful last night.
Hey, along those lines, while we're talking about teams, Brian, who will get to the one line, is there anybody that's in jeopardy of losing that type of status this week?
Well, I don't know that anyone can lose it just because I don't know that anyone has it. I mean, it's just kind of a muddled mess. You got the SEC teams, you know, LSU kind of on outside looking in, even though they're the SEC champs. You got Kentucky and Tennessee. And then you have the ACC teams. You're looking at Duke, Carolina, Virginia. Virginia's probably locked in, but the other two definitely aren't. Then in the Big Ten, probably Michigan State's the best chance. But I mean, it's just a mess right now trying to figure that out. Maybe even Texas Tech could seemingly get in there. I don't personally think so. But there's a lot of teams, and no one seems locked in except for maybe Virginia. And I don't think Virginia could lose a game that would hurt them so much that they drop off that one seat line.
Talking shop and getting ready for Selection Sunday with Brian Snow on Twitter at bsnow247. Give me your most exciting conference tournament, at least this year. The way the cookie's starting to crumble, teams that have, I mean, a lot of stakes to play for. What's the best one that you're looking forward to over the next couple of days?
The two that stand out to me are the Big East and the Big Ten. And the reason, even though the ACC is going to be great and the SEC should be pretty good as well, just you look at the Big East and the Big Ten, it seems like there's a million bubble teams and they're all playing each other the first couple of days. So I just think there's going to be so much on the line. There's no one team in either league that you can really point to or even two teams be like, oh, those are the favorites. I really like the Big Ten's probably the best top-to-bottom league in the country, and then there's also teams in the middle that are really fighting for their lives, so to speak. So I would lean the Big Ten and then the Big East just because no one has any idea what to expect in Madison Square Garden over the next few days.
We love asking you for a bit of a March profile, right? Worthiness of teams. Already we've covered, let's see, Houston, Texas Tech, Marquette. Today I'm going to lob Virginia Tech at you. We know they play in a pretty legit conference. We know they're a top 15 team. Give me some of your thoughts on them come the big dance.
They are not a team I truly believe in, and that's because their best player, Justin Robinson, hasn't played in 3 weeks, month, whatever it's been. And even if he comes back for the NCAA tournament, he's not going to be the regular Justin Robinson. Now, they're a good team. I think they're capable of getting to a Sweet 16. I think their ceiling is capped pretty much, but without your best player, without one of the best guards in school history, I just have a hard time really believing in you. And they've been solid in his absence, but I almost think, one, if you bring him back, that's going to screw everything up because it totally changes the dynamic of the team. I almost kind of look at what happened to Duke when Kyrie Irving came back from his injury his 1 year on campus, and they were just messed up because they didn't know how to play with Kyrie. And now you're going to get some of the same if Justin Robinson comes back from Virginia Tech. And then if he doesn't come back, then you're missing your best player. And it's hard to make a run without your best player.
Translation for our listeners. If you see them on a 4 or 5 line, and you probably will, give a little thought to the 12 or the 13 seed, perhaps. All right, Brian, let's move it forward a little bit. The regular season has come to an end. Give me your player of the year and coach of the year. And the whole POY thing probably changed a lot with Zion Williamson, I would imagine, but I'm sure you'll tell me.
I'm still going with Zion. I know he's missed, you know, what, 5 games or whatever it's been, but I would still go with Zion. I think he was the best player, the most influential player. So I would go with him. Coach of the year, I'm looking at Chris Beard at Texas Tech. Chris Beard and Matt Painter at Purdue are really my two choices, but I'll go with Chris Beard at Texas Tech. You know, they lost so much from last year, and they get an outright, or at least a share of the league title. I can't remember if it's share or outright, in the Big 12, and has them in the top 10 in the country and just playing tremendous basketball. So I really love what Chris Beard's done there. And then Zion, I mean, no player changed college basketball with his presence more than Zion Williamson. So I'm still going to go with him. I mean, you can make an argument for a few other guys, maybe Cassius Winston from Michigan State, but I would stick with Zion Williamson.
All right, before we let you go, I'll ask you one on the local team, LSU. And with everything that's kind of swirling around this program outside of the X's and O's stuff, there have been indications that the selection committee may well dock a potential seed that LSU could get, right? Almost just cut them at the knees before they get into the NCAA tournament because of the perceived impropriety. Can you ever recall such of an occurrence? Can you think of instances where the seeding was almost kind of preliminarily docked, or is this something to you that would be almost new territory?
I think it would be completely unprecedented. You know, there's been situations with injuries. The one that really sticks out in my mind is Kenyon Martin, 1999, I want to say. UC Cincinnati was the number one team in the country. Kenyon Martin, National Player of the Year, turned out to be the number one draft pick. He broke his leg in the first round of the Conference USA tournament, I believe. I don't think they're in the Great Midwest. I believe it was Conference USA tournament. And even though UC was the number one team in the country, they were given a two seed because everyone knew Kenyon wasn't going to be able to play. And that's the only situation I can really – not the only, but that's the main situation I can think of. We've never really seen a situation where in real time an NCAA investigation's been kind of been ongoing. You know, Memphis had a situation with Derrick Rose, but the investigation wasn't until after the season. And it wasn't even an investigation. It was just the test score being decertified. So we've never seen anything like this. There's no precedent for it. What I think you'll see is if the seed turns out to be a little fishy, a little bit lower than maybe the resume indicates, they'll say it's because, you know, Tavante Smart's likely not to play and Will Wade isn't on the sideline. So, it's, you know, LSU's not the same team as the resume says. So the committee will use that out if they so desire. But I don't know that we've ever seen a situation like this in the past where there's a real-time investigation going on right on the cusp of the NCAA tournament.
That's very well put. And with Wade, things are still status quo. And as much as around these parts, I think it was kind of presumed that Javonte might get back in good standing, play as early as Friday in the conference quarterfinals. That has not yet happened. That worm hasn't turned. So you're right. Definitely the coach at this point doesn't look like he'll be there come the big dance. As far as one of their rising stars at the point guard position, it might be just the same. B. Snow, these are weird times down here in South Louisiana.
I can only imagine.
You know, we appreciate your time. We'll catch up next Wednesday, and we'll be on the cusp of the NCAA tournament.
Sounds good, man. See you.
That's Brian Snow, college basketball recruiting analyst. In fact, when we return, I'll share the latest that Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser has got out there. The door is open for Will Wade if he wants to walk through it, but therein lies the issue. Don't go anywhere. I'll provide that update, and we're looking, hell, we're demanding our first call of the day. Get up off your keister. Let's talk some sports. We're guest heavy in hour number two. Ken Trahan on Saints free agency at 5:05. Justin Vincent, LSU spring football. Jarvis and OBJ back together. JV's with us at 5:45. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back in on 103.7 The Game.
Show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Final segment of hour number one. Kicking off. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open. We'll be busy in the next hour. You want to get involved? LSU Hoops. Want to follow up anything Brian Snow had to say? We got time. 706-0111. A quick announcement while we're waiting on that. We are excited to announce that Arco Equipment is going to be presenting a Student Athlete of the Month award on behalf of us right here at Acadiana Sports Station. Seriously, once in March, once in April, once in May, we're going to award one high school boy, one high school girl. And we want to emphasize the student and the athlete part of that. Here's how you can nominate your favorite student athlete. Again, we're looking for high school athletes. One male, one female will be awarded for the next 3 months. If you go to 1037thegame.com, you're going to find a sheet that you can fill out. We'll need a little bit of information. We want your reason for nominating. What makes this young man, this young woman so special? And then on the 27th of this month, we're going to award an ARDCO Equipment Student Athlete of the Month. We'll have one boy and one girl this month in April and in May. We're excited about this. And so are our friends over at ARDCO Equipment. All right, enough of that for now. Ironically, we are going to go out, though, to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Waiting on us is Phil. Phil wants to talk a little LSU and Will Wade. What's up, Phil?
Not too much, man. I got a question. Why is LSU, and I know I don't know what those told, but why is LSU calling Will Wade? It's to me, I would cut ties completely. And again, I don't know the whole situation, but it seems like they're just waiting on him. You know, if you want to come in, talk, or we'll do this, we'll do that, or I don't understand it.
Phil, I'll give you what I think and what I feel. And look, I'll tell you this, and it's interesting you brought it up because something was just brought to my attention that, look, I've been busy today. I haven't been on Twitter all that much. And somebody sent me a video of Jordy Collada's rant from across the basin. Nothing but respect for my guy, Jay Cool. I've done a lot of radio alongside as a guest on his show. He's been on B2BS before. There's a lot of pounding on the table from the talking heads in Baton Rouge that Aliva, F. King Alexander are clowns, that they're cowardly, they're not standing up for their coach, they've got a chance to spin things on its head. Just me personally, the seat that I occupy, I completely disagree. And again, here are my two cents, Phil, and here's answering your question. You're wondering why aren't they firing him if he refused to talk to them. I think that there's one big reason why. I think that that might put a pin in the balloon of an NCAA tournament run quicker than anything else, right? So I think part of it, in my opinion, and from what I've been told, is morale. If they fire Will Wade anytime between now and the end of LSU's run, when they're still on the court, when they're still eligible to play in the next round of the SEC or NCAA tournament, what a kick to the gut that would be of those kids out there. And before I get a call saying, well, Ben, they bought those players. Ben, those players don't deserve, I don't want to hear it. Skylar Mays deserves everything good that comes to him in this world. So don't come at me with that. You won't like the response from me. Skylar Mays has been in this program for a while, so it ain't all of them that may have been on the take. In fact, it's probably a narrow few of them. But Phil's question is, why aren't they parting ways with him? I think they at least are allowing for his side of the story. But as Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser published within the last 15 minutes, while the door is open for Wade, his legal counsel are very defiantly refusing to walk through it. I get their side of it to an extent. They feel as if anything they say at this point to anyone, including Will's employer, could put Wade in further danger come the FBI corruption trial in April 22nd. And so they don't want to say diddly-poo, Jim Mora Sr. style, to anybody. But as I've said now for about four or five straight shows, if you take that tact with your employer, you have to understand the consequences that are coming. And the one that they had to take immediately was suspend him. And they did have to take that tact. They absolutely did. In any industry, you can't allow your employee who might be putting the whole big picture in jeopardy, who might put you in a place of liability, when you ask for disclosure in a meeting, if the answer is no, the bare minimum is that person is suspended. But unlike any other industry, the payoff of Will Wade's job is happening right now. They put the whole team and program together to go on a run that is literally happening before our eyes. And so to Brian Snow's point, this is completely and utterly unprecedented. But Phil is asking basically, if they feel this way about it, why haven't they cut ties? Partially because I think they don't want to send that message to this team and undercut a chance at making a run. But the other part of it is because there are members of the Board of Supervisors who don't agree with one another. There are some that feel as if Wade Smart should be eligible to coach and play. We'll deal with the repercussions later. Our program hasn't been this strong, maybe ever, certainly in a generation. Let's roll the dice. And they'll point to Lawrence, Kansas, Tucson, Arizona, maybe Durham, North Carolina, and they'll say the head coaches at those places are still coaching, despite a lot of heat around them. But the reason I feel this situation is different is because there's a wiretap that has been released from the FBI in which Wade is pretty darn clearly talking about Javonte Smart, who's on LSU's roster. That's what makes it different from things that came out last October when the talk was about a kid who ended up at Florida State. And, you know, the momentum Monday, the discussion Monday was about positive momentum with Javonte Smart. Everybody felt pretty good. He'll be back. Well, here we are 48 hours later, and that hasn't exactly happened yet. And so there are Board of Supervisors members that are at odds with one another, and they had to come to some kind of unity and agreement, Phil, to answer your question, before any action will be taken, albeit reinstatement of Smart, maybe even Wade, or firing Will Wade. The Board of Supervisors is going to make that call on the end of a string that comes from their fingers are F. King Alexander and Joe Oliva. Please, this is important, never forget that. They call the shots. Oliva, Alexander have recommendations. The Board of Supervisors calls the shots. So never doubt the fact that in Louisiana, politics rules the roost, and not just with who gets elected. We got more time for you. 706-0111. Because Phil's question there, some of his inclination, I mean, those are things that cross my mind as well. When everything came to pass on Friday, and the Ross Dellingers of the world, the Jacques Doucets of the world, were able to unearth the fact that LSU was actively trying to meet with Wade, and that he was no responding to them. Well, you didn't have a lot of recourse there. My thought is, okay, well, hey, if he's not going to meet with you, you have to suspend him, but you have just cause to fire him. In fact, if LSU really wanted to, they've got a number of places in the contract where they could 86 Wade right now. The morals ethics clause being one of them. Everything that we're witnessing with refusing to cooperate is another of them. But I don't think that is the right play today. I actually believe the action they've taken to date is the proper one and the only one that you can take as an employer. But the crazy part now is that a group of Board of Supervisors members who are at odds with one another are going to control the way that this either spirals downhill or they're going to keep it right where it's at. My gut tells me they keep it right where it's at. I'm not sure at this point what happens with Javonte Smart. I was willing to ride that surge and that wave that Ross Dellinger brought the program on Monday, and I'm not trying to cast any aspersions at Ross. He's the best sports investigative journalist I've ever seen in the state of Louisiana. The guy's amazing. And he's got more insight than this than I do. But Monday he was on this show and he said that he thought Smart was going to be reinstated. We had a caller said, Ben, I'm boys with whoever in the TAF, and I keep hearing he's going to be reinstated. Hasn't happened yet. Doesn't mean it won't. But Smart, I have read, is going to be allowed to travel to Nashville either way. So even if it's an 11th hour decision, they can get him out there on the floor. As far as Wade goes, my gut tells me this thing stays status quo until LSU season is over. It would not surprise me if the Board of Supervisors sometime comes to an agreement that they have to sever ties with Wade. Wouldn't surprise me at all if it happens the day after LSU season is complete. So that's kind of how I feel about it right now. Again, you listen to radio on the other side of the base, you might hear something different. Respect to those guys. They've got their own takes. But from everything I've heard, trying to step back, take a little more measured approach, you have to appreciate the place that Oliva and Alexander, to an extent, have been in, because Wade put them there. Now, the fact that they didn't do more due diligence starting in October, another issue altogether. That's where I really have a little something to say about the job that the athletic administration has done. All right, enough of that for now. CD, let's get to one final word.
What's up, Katie Anna? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Return. How about a guy that was on the Saints roster, boy, not that long ago, Adrian Peterson. He's going to return to the Washington Redskins. That deal announced earlier today in the nation's capital. 2 years, $8 million. AD still in D.C. That's the final word of this hour. It's brought to you by the Village Station. We're halfway home. Ken Trahan next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crowe Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside Clint Domang. And for the next hour, we got you, bringing you home inside the 237 Roof Studios. No job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We'll have Ken Trahan in about 90 seconds going deep on Saints free agency. But to expound a little bit, at the end of hour number one, I referenced Glenn Gilbo's report in the Daily Advertiser. The door is open for suspended LSU coach Will Wade to come in, meet, talk reinstatement, but his attorneys have made it clear that it will not happen until after the conclusion of the pending Southern District of New York criminal investigation. That is what attorney Michael G. McGovern, and again, that's an attorney that's representing Wade, wrote to Glenn Gilbo earlier today. In fact, that was a letter that was written to LSU officials Tuesday that Glenn and the Daily Advertiser obtained today. So if he has to meet with them to be reinstated, and of course they have to like what's said during that meeting, and that meeting's not going to happen until after April the 22nd, I think you've got every answer that you need at this point. The man's not going to be coaching this team again this season. I'll still maintain it's likely he never coaches them again. To the crowd that's wondering why don't they fire him, let's pick that up after our next guest. Turbulent times. Let's head out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. It is time for Ken Trahan, Crescent City Sports. And Ken, I think that this makes Saints free agency look like a walk in the park when it comes to topics, right?
Yeah, well, of course, that's been a topic that we've been talking about on our shows here for the past several days. And it's amazing the response that it's gotten. So many layers to that, and I know we're here to talk about the Saints, but I think you made the salient point. Regardless of what the attorneys decide, the fact that you won't even meet with your employer really kind of dictates, doesn't it? And I think that's kind of what the situation is here. Obviously, it will play itself out. You're innocent until proven guilty, and I certainly hope that he's in some way cleared. Will Wade, I really do. It's been fun to watch. They've been a terrific team. He's done a great job. But if it turns out that he is complicit and is guilty in this matter, then I wonder what people will say after the fact about it. So it's been a difficult topic, obviously, and it's been a difficult situation for everyone, and everyone wants to cast aspersions at Oliva. And I understand that, too, based upon his track record of what's happened previously. But at the same time, given the circumstances, when your employee won't even meet with you, given what's been alleged, then what recourse do you have?
A lot of logic spit there during an emotional period. Ken Trahan, our guest on 103.7 The Game. All right, we'll spin it over to the Saints now. The idea that Mark Ingram took 5 years per to go to Baltimore when reportedly $4.5 million was on the table from the Saints, what message does that send, Ken?
Yeah, I think it's disappointing. I think, obviously, we all wanted to see him finish his career here, but as I wrote at CrescentCitySports.com, the fact of the matter is that, other than Drew Brees, who's still playing, and there's no guarantee he'll finish his career here either, right? The three most notable players in the history of the franchise all in the Pro Football Hall of Fame were Ricky Jackson, Morton Anderson, and Willie Rofe. None of them played their entire careers in New Orleans. It's simply the nature of the business today. With regard to Ingram, the fact that, you know, the reports were that he was offered up to $4.5 million a year, the difference between $4.5 and $5 is minimal. You know, maybe he thought the market would bear more. Maybe he got the 3 years and more guaranteed money from Baltimore than he would have gotten here. We don't know that unless, you know, he tells us that or his agent tells us that. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a big difference if these reports are accurate with regard to the kind of money we're talking about. And he was a natural fit here, obviously. Everybody loved him here. He liked everybody here. And then, of course, from the standpoint of, you know, what this franchise had done and the success that he'd had, he was a natural fit. And he and Kamara got along extremely well. So it's disappointing. Now, Latavius Murray is a capable, competent back. He's not as good as Ingram, but he should be able to carry the load. And by the way, you know, the thing you have to understand too, Ben, is that he's not going to have to carry the same load that Ingram carried, because a large reason for this move in the first place is that you have to invest more in Alvin Kamara. You're going to have to pay him enormously soon, and he's a special player, therefore he needs to be on the field more, so Ingram's role was going to be a bit reduced anyway.
It's a great point. And look, when we're talking about the future of that backfield, I think we've got a big piece in what you just said with Kamara. But the other one to me that's intriguing is with Teddy Bridgewater. And premature reports yesterday, it seems that the Saints Bridgewater would come to terms. And now all of a sudden, seems like that has not been completed yet, and that the Miami Dolphins are involved here. How interested are the Saints, and I guess I mean that in a financial sense as well, at locking down a potential quarterback of the future? Because it seems that Peyton believes that is Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, they'd like to keep him. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it, but here's the delicate matter you got to deal with. His name is Drew Brees. His contract is 1 year remaining, and what are you going to do? Are you going to tell Drew Brees, okay, you're going to play the 1 year and then we're just going to ask you to retire? Or we're going to play the 1 year and then we'll just let you walk? I don't think either one of those are options, and I don't think either one of those have been broached whatsoever. So therefore, what do you tell Teddy Bridgewater? Well, we'd love you to come back because we'd love you to be the guy of the future here. We just can't tell you when that's going to be. So, look, Drew Brees, is it possible that he quits after next season? Of course it's possible. But I think that would happen only if two or three things occurred. One, he regresses as a player physically and otherwise. Two, the Saints win a Super Bowl championship, which would be a natural way to depart. Or three, there's an injury that factors in. So, other than that, Drew Brees is an unbelievably competitive guy. And those of us that have been around him and know him a bit understand just how much he burns to compete and to win. So, and he's taking great care of himself. He's in terrific shape. So there's no real detriment there or anything that would suggest to you that he's ready to walk away. I mean, Tom Brady's 2 years older. He's nowhere near walking away. So I think you have to look at it from that perspective if you're Teddy Bridgewater, and I think that's what's happening. And that's why he's visiting with Miami. There hasn't seemed to be any other real serious interest in him other than the Dolphins. Jacksonville had some interest, but they got Nick Foles. So it's Miami or probably New Orleans.
We're joined now by Ken Trahan, owner, CEO, CrescentCitySports.com. He's also the GM of the Saints Hall of Fame Museum. I found it interesting about 2 days ago, Ken, I think it was Adam Humphries that went from Tampa to Tennessee, and we kind of got to see what that slot receiver market was going to be like. Obviously, the Saints would like to strike there if they can during this free agency period. How do you evaluate some of the options that are out there and what the Saints might be able to do to complement a couple of good young receivers?
Well, I mean, the market isn't that enticing. Cole Beasley, Golden Tate, that's all the conversation has been about. Tate's a nice player, but I don't know that they could afford him based on what he might cost. Beasley's a role guy, and he's competent. But I think what they're probably asking themselves with regard to a guy like Beasley is, you know, is he going to be better than one of the options we might have here right now that could have another year to develop? There's Keith Kirkwood, who was a rookie and showed some degree of promise. Traquan Smith, who was a rookie, who had one bang-up game and then kind of disappeared. And then there's also the wild card in Cam Meredith. And is he going to be the guy they thought he would be when they got him from the Bears? He'll be a year further down the road from that knee problem. So is he going to be that guy that gets the chance, and will he be the guy they thought he might be? Stay tuned. You know, the the far-fetched idea is Des Bryant, of course, coming off of an Achilles. So I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that, but you certainly can't ignore it. So I guess what I'm saying is that there is at least some thought process that they might have people in the building that can fill the role, but there's no doubt they've got to get another weapon on the outside, whether it's a receiver or a tight end that can go get the football.
Ken, where else might you anticipate the Saints being active in terms of positions during this free agency period?
Well, defensive line. I mean, obviously that's defensive tackle. You're going to be without Sheldon Rankins to start the year. Right now you got Tyler Davison, who's unsigned, and they got to get him signed. And then, of course, there's Alex Okafor, who's a free agent on the outside, and there's David Onyemata, who had an off-the-field issue that may or may not result in a suspension to start the year. So there's got to be real concern about their defensive line situation. So right now I'd say that's right there. That's 1A. It's 1A in terms of their consideration, but I think that's where it's at. It's defensive line, it's tight end, it's wide receiver. Those are clearly the focal points. And they'd love to get some more depth up front on the offensive line as well, if that's possible. Of course, you're really getting into the Christmas wish list here when you start talking about that.
Interesting you put it that way, because I got a question that's probably 6 to 8 weeks premature, but people will want to know, any chance the Saints try to make a move up into the first round of this year's NFL draft?
Anything's possible. I mean, they've done it on previous occasions. The problem with that is, where's the value? You know, what are they going to be able to give up to be able to get there? I mean, again, they've mortgaged this year's draft, and how many more can you afford to do that with? You really don't want to mortgage your future completely. They went all in last year trying to win it all, and it was the right thing to do, and they darn near did it. And obviously we know about the call and what happened, and had that not happened, Lord knows what would have happened in Atlanta, where the Saints would have been a virtual home team against the Patriots, and I'm 100% certain they would have scored more than 3 points, by the way. So that said, are they going to do that again? Are they going to go all in again? If you do that, then you really do mortgage your future. Now, they have a good young nucleus on this team of players. Of course, that means you're also going to have to pay those guys in 2 years. I mean, if Drew Brees plays beyond this year, you're going to have to pay him again. Then you're going to have to pay Michael Thomas, and you're going to have to pay Alvin Kamara, and you're going to have to pay Marshawn Lattimore. You know, the young stars of this team that are going to come into their second contracts, which are going to be where they hit the jackpot. So you have to take all that into consideration as well. So anything's possible. They have been daring, and they've made moves in the past to move up, to get into the first round, or to move up in the first round. At this point, I don't know that they have the assets to be able to do that.
Ken, you know, I appreciate the time. We covered a lot of different ground today, from Will Wade, LSU, and a lot into the Saints. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
That's Ken Trahan, CrescentCitySports.com. Great insight, I think, into the Saints. And, yeah, defensive line is going to be awfully important. All right, we'll take our first break of the hour. Don't forget, Clint and I taking you right into the pregame show for LSU, Texas Southern from the box. This is the final tune-up before SEC play. Some updates I can provide briefly as we head into that break. Clay Moffitt is going to get the start on the mound for the Tigers tonight. It's time for some whole staff action. And today, the father of Paul Maneri, Demi Doc Maneri, passed away at the age of 90. According to a report from James Moran Tiger Egg Magazine an hour ago, Maneri hasn't yet decided if he'll coach in tonight's game. More on that and plenty of other topics when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
The weirdness has extended itself from Baton Rouge east to New Orleans. Different level of weird, but I will explain. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in 20 minutes after 5 o'clock on 103.7 The Game. And whenever you're ready, why don't you call in? So far, we've just had Phil join us. You could be our next caller, 706-0111. Your latest from New Orleans, and then we'll get some updates to our poll question today. According to Diana Russini of the Mothership, and she's had her fingers on the pulse of whatever's going on with Teddy Bridgewater, she reported earlier today No Bridgewater deal is official. Yesterday's reports were premature. Earlier today, Rossini said she feels, or the Saints feel, that they'll get the deal done, but that Miami is involved. The latest from Rossini is that if the Dolphins throw a million or two more total on top, the Saints are ready to bow out of this thing. So all this talk about Bridgewater as the long-term replacement to Breeze, it's amazing how fluid that situation seems to be. And let's add this on top. Joe Shad used to cover college football. Now he is with the Palm Beach Post, covering primarily the Miami Dolphins. Joe Shad, about 14 minutes ago, is reporting Ryan Tannehill could end up as the Saints' backup if Teddy Bridgewater, who is from Miami, goes home to play for the Dolphins. So a lot of different things in motion. Could be some trading places. Musical chairs action. Teddy Bridgewater to Miami, maybe. And if so, Ryan Tannehill, former Texas A&M Aggie wide receiver slash quarterback, could come to New Orleans. Weird, wild times. All right, CD, our sink or swim question of the day. It's related to all this jazz with NFL free agency, but not the Saints. With the news that Odell Beckham is heading from New York to Cleveland, I asked, will the Cleveland Browns make the playoffs next season? What's Twitter say?
And everybody's leaning towards me, Ben. 80% are saying swim, 20% sink.
So I'm hanging with the 20%.
Yeah, you're the 20%ers.
And I will. Hey, don't call me a 20%er. On this subject, though. On this subject, yes, I am in the minority. I understand that. But we have gotten a couple of texts into the program. Or I guess these are, excuse me, tweet responses. It's been a long day. But our tweet responses to this question so far. Chris says, easily, in my opinion. Jonathan says, it's the Browns. They're going to find a way to mess this up. Jonathan, you and I are in lockstep here. And they did go get arguably the most talented receiver in the game. I think you could have that conversation, and you need to throw in OBJ, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, and you might have to start throwing Michael Thomas in there. But certainly there is an upper echelon, and on the current Mount Rushmore of NFL wide receivers, yep, Odell's in there. But he comes with some baggage. All right, let's not completely eschew that. And so OBJ going to Cleveland, are all those waters going to be calmed because he's playing with his boy, Jarvis Landry, again? I think that's what Cleveland is banking on. Whether or not that comes to fruition, another thing altogether. But the NFL free agency period, it certainly hasn't disappointed. And another thing we haven't even mentioned yet, Le'Veon Bell, I think we saw earlier this morning, is going to go to the New York Football Jets.
Yeah, that was weird.
And get less money than he was going to receive in Pittsburgh after holding out.
Yeah, that was weird. Going to the New York Jets, I know a lot of the rumors going around were the Baltimore Ravens heavily. I feel like that one would have been a lot better fit for him because it feels like there's just more, at least hope, that the Ravens could wind up doing a little bit better rather than the New York Jets who don't know who their quarterback's going to be.
Sam Darnold.
I can't say 100% all in on that right now.
It's got to be Sam Darnold.
It's got to be, but then again, it's just this. It just feels like the New York Jets and the New York Giants are kindred spirits right now.
So let's connect three dots.
All right.
The top three picks of last year's NFL draft. One, Baker Mayfield. And we know what Cleveland's doing. They're trying to bring in everybody, make a run. They got a new head coach who was the offensive guru behind their success last year, and Freddie Kitchens. Number one pick was Baker Mayfield. They're drawing players over.
Yep.
The number two pick, Saquon Barkley. They're getting rid of everybody humanly possible on their football team, except for him and Eli, and the rebuild is pretty serious. He's going to be a tackling dummy this year for opposing defenses. Yeah. The number three pick, Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Jets. And now they're going to pair him with, you could make a case, the most elusive running back in the game today. Now, I think there's a couple others you got to throw in there for consideration. AK-41 amongst them.
Yep.
Ezekiel Elliott, a little more punishing, but still amongst them. But Le'Veon Bell, let us not forget, is the most patient runner of this generation, and the guy is just slippery. Even with the year out of football, Clint, the Jets are going to get better next year.
I would hope so, because I want to see the Jets get a little bit better, because it feels like they were on the cusp of doing something really good with Mark Sanchez. I know that seems like a stretch of the imagination.
That's the reason you don't agree with me that Sam Darnold's the future, is because of the Sanchez?
No, not because of the Sanchez. Just I want them to succeed, but I'm not 100% sold on our guy, Sam Darnold. I'm not 100% sold on him after what I've seen in the first year.
Cautiously optimistic New York Jets fan, Clint Domingue, joining me here inside the 237 Roof Studios. We got some time. You could call in this segment, the one after, because we're about to hit a break, and then Justin Vincent joining us live from Baton Rouge at 5:45. A lot of different things we had to discuss with JV. Jarvis, Odell, reunited. The Pittsburgh Steelers, getting rid of everyone. He played for that franchise. He knows the coach, Mike Tomlin. He knows the Rooneys in the ownership. And then LSU spring football. The Big Cat is back. Is that good or bad? We'll have a lot to discuss with Justin Vincent of the Tiger Athletic Foundation, and that is coming your way at 5:45. CD, we're going to have to go lightning round speed here. Who do we have?
Halftime.
Let's get him aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline. Halftime, what you got?
Just want to say, it's about basketball. Thank you, Ben. Since you've been here, you've been doing a lot about basketball, and these young kids have been getting exposed, and people have been seeing them and getting scholarships, and I think you should get a lot of credit for that. You told me that when you first came, and you've been doing it. Keep up the good work, Ben. That's all I have to say.
Halftime, you know I appreciate it, but that credit, I'm going to defer that to the kids first and foremost, their coaches, their parents, their guardians, but exposure always helps. If our station talking about it, if our live game broadcast have assisted in any way, shape, or form, hey, I'm all for it. And that's been part of my mantra since I left Scout.com and moved here full time. I'm appreciative of the words halftime, but those kids deserve the credit. I'm glad they're getting some recognition. Awesome stuff there. Hey, speaking of kids and the recognition, this is awesome in itself. Halftime, you led a horse to water. Let's drink before we hit a break. Literally 30 to 35 minutes ago, I announced that we're going to be doing an ARDCO Student Athlete of the Month. One boy in high school, one girl in high school for March, April, and May. And that the nominations are open. We've already got our first in. Not going to say who, not going to say from what school, but that is attention to detail. You can nominate your favorite student athlete as well and tell us why. Just go to 1037thegame.com. You'll see the form to fill out, and then Acadiana Sports Station, along with ARDCO Equipment, will happily present one young man, one young woman on March 27th. Pretty cool, though, that we've already got one in the boat as far as a nomination. Bumper to Bumper Sports, hey, we're coming right back in, too. Non-related, but we're throwing shade on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
Clint, somebody needs to make RP3 stop working. You want to hear about overtime? I'll share about what our man's putting in right now. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in on 1037 The Game. You talk about boots on the ground? RP3, text into the program. There's an accident on 90 by Kali Saloom. According to Raymond, it's got traffic backed up as you're heading from New Iberia toward Lafayette. So from, east to west and kind of almost northwest, if you will. Be careful if you're on the Evangeline Thruway. And as far as Raymond Parts III, thank you for all of your due diligence. My man's been on the air. 9 until 11. Comes back in. Gives us a live traffic update. Yeah, he's putting in the time. All right, let's get back out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Ken is with us. Ken, what's on your mind?
I just got in. I don't know if you talked about it touched on it. This big scandal going on with these coaches and these cheating and people taking tests and all that. And second thing, LSU baseball, starting to worry about them, Ben. You know, you're losing these games. I think they play Texas Southern. If it's not postponed, I think they play tonight. I want you to just touch on that real quick and let me listen, and I'll hang up. Thank you very much.
All right, Ken, you got it. I haven't for 1 second yesterday or today talked about the non-college basketball NCAA scandal. Now, I know that one's farther reaching, and I know it's about celebrities giving millions of dollars to ensure their kids got to go to certain places. And yes, there seems to be a connection to something that happened locally, what, 3-4 years ago? It seems like the exact same thing that an assistant coach did under Mark Hudspeth for Raging Cajuns football, maybe arranging some certain testing from the ACT to go a certain way in the state of Mississippi. It seems awfully familiar. But as it's more likely to affect USC water polo than, say, oh, I don't know, LSU, UL football or basketball, I've been a little hands-off with it. I just didn't think it would carry as much local relevance. But you're right. It is an absolutely humongous storyline that does affect otherwise what are thought of to be upper-crust academic institutions, right? Yale, Wake Forest, I mean, Stanford, I think I've seen, USC. I mean, these are some of the creme de la creme when it comes to higher education. And I think what we're learning, the way of the world extends itself to that. Higher dollars gets you anything that you damn well want. Not the way that it should be, but I think that's continuing to ring true. So, Ken, I'm not going to spend a lot of time there right now because we've got some bigger fish to fry. But you asked about LSU baseball. All indications I see on social media, they're on track for a 6:30 first pitch. We'll bring you to the pregame show at 6 o'clock, LSU versus Texas Southern. What we know is this. Clay Moffitt's going to start, expect a whole staff approach tonight. We also know that Paul Maneri's father, Demi Doc Maneri, passed away earlier this morning at the age of 90. It's uncertain at this point if Paul is going to coach the game. About an hour and 15 minutes ago, Bill Frankes, LSU publicist, said that Maneri was, at the moment, unsure. But you're right. Strictly looking back to last night and everything that's happening, Ken, on the cusp of SEC action, we keep vacillating, right, about what's the biggest concern. Starting pitching, no, that hasn't gone away. A lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistency. But suddenly the hitting continues to be something that's really, really concerning, especially given the beef that was expected at the top of the lineup. They put Chris Reed in the four hole to bat cleanup on the road last night in Natchitoches, and again, they're making some moves, but the buttons they're pressing so far aren't igniting what was expected to be a potent offense. So, Ken, I think some of the concerns are valid. Losing in the midweek in Natchitoches doesn't get me too bent out of shape, but overall their form, I think it gives a lot of cause for pause and concern. All right, enough of that. I don't have a lot of time left. We got Justin Vincent coming aboard in about 7 or 8 minutes. So let me give you your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management top-down, starting with Mark, to help you create a vision and then fulfill it. And you can also trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. All it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Shade thrown and then walked back from Klay Thompson. Golden State Warriors, small forward. Well, he had some things to say about the home crowd. In fact, he wasn't too thrilled about it. The Dubs lost at home to the Suns on Sunday. And here's what Klay Thompson said immediately after. I expect our crowd to be a little more into it. Like, I know it's not the playoffs, but it is our last go-round at Oracle. Least you can stand up or something when we make a good play, especially in the beginning. We need that energy, especially this time of the year. It's hard to conjure up energy every single night because you're looking forward to the playoffs and that run. Interesting. And it is the last year that they'll be an Oracle. They got a new edifice that's going up by the bay. But Klay Thompson saying, look, we win all the time. I know you're used to it, but you could at least show appreciation for it. It's a little shade there. Again, Klay, after walking the plank, walked it back today. He tweeted out, I love Dub Nation. We have the greatest fan base in sports. We feed greatly. Off their energy and Oracle, I meant no disrespect. Yeah, you did, and you might feel glad that you did once the postseason comes and goes. I bet this is a nice boot in the butt for those Dubs fans. Good on you, Klay.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Final break of the show coming at you, JV, when we return. That's Justin Vincent of the Tiger Athletic Foundation. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back on 103.7 The Game.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Fired up about our next guest. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in. 5:45 on 103.7 The Game. Not going to waste any time. We got to talk NFL free agency and LSU spring football. Aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, former Bar Buck, LSU Tiger, and Pittsburgh Steeler, Justin Vincent. How are you, JV?
Doing good, man.
So we get the news late last night. Jarvis Landry is going to be reunited with Odell Beckham Jr. What was your initial reaction?
Oh, what an amazing feeling, not only, I guess, for those two guys who are so close, but just for everybody, especially Tiger Nation, who's followed those young men throughout their career and have an opportunity to see them play again. I think it's just all the feels are just amazing right now. It's a great opportunity for the Browns. It's definitely a great opportunity for those young men.
Take me back to being in the film study room. Jarvis Landry was a very, very well-known recruit. Odell, not quite as much. In fact, I don't think it was certain he was going to be a receiver as opposed to a DB. But bring me back to evaluating them as high school talents.
Obviously, Jarvis is as good as advertised. Odell didn't know as much. Knew he was outstanding because of his speed. He could run away from guys and his ability to play soccer, which gave him kind of advantage as far as hand-eye coordination. But, you know, he went to Newman in New Orleans. Competition level wasn't as high. You just didn't know what to expect. Sometimes you see a kid like that flourish around guys who necessarily weren't as talented as him. You had a lot of question marks. But as soon as he got out there against the guys who he'd be teammates with eventually, you saw how special he was. And it was almost instantly special.
Talking with Justin Vincent. If you're not following him on Twitter, you need to correct that, at JVincent25. How quickly did those two form a bond? And did it even take until they got to campus, or maybe was it prior?
Yeah, I think it was during camp, man, when they came at camp their senior year. Their junior year, they kind of meshed together. I think they might have even roomed together, if my memory serves me correctly. They were just, you know, kind of almost destined to be with each other. Great personalities, both are outgoing. Always willing to take charge if nobody else would. They're just born leaders, and that team has definitely got some winners on their hands.
I want you to tell me, Justin, if I'm looking at this the right way, or if you agree or you don't, but with what Antonio Brown was able to accomplish, he wanted to get out of Pittsburgh. Eventually, he didn't want to go to Buffalo. He did want Oakland. He wanted more money. He got everything he wanted. In this circumstance, it feels like Odell did as well. So, when I think we're seeing some pretty unprecedented things for NFL players as far as the control they wield, would you agree with that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think a lot of people don't really understand. It doesn't necessarily matter what occupation you have. If you have something of value, you have a control of your own destiny. You basically, you're at the steering wheel. You can handle the situation the correct way and do things accordingly, or you can let things go away. But I think what those guys do, they know their brand, they know their marketability, they know what they bring to the table. So there was never any question about, you know, athletic ability. Now, there may be some off-the-field stuff as far as AB goes and how he operates and is he outgoing, is he hanging out with Ocho Cinco and Terrell, so Owens. So things like that come into play. But other than that, as far as accountability on the field between the hashes on Sundays, you know what you're going to get. But I think when you market yourself and you perform well and you do everything that you do on Sundays, and sometimes you exceed those expectations, at the end of the day, you control your own destiny. So I think that's what he did, and he took a chance, and he won.
We're joined now by Justin Vincent with the Tiger Athletic Foundation on 103.7 The Game. All right, I mentioned AB, and we get the news this morning that Le'Veon Bell is heading to the New York Jets. What is your overall understanding of the way the Steelers organization typically operates, and has this in any way, I guess, taken a path away from that, or is this in line with how they usually operate?
No, this is how they operate, man. They don't really like to pay, like talking about. Their team is, you know, when they were winning the Super Bowls back in, you know, in the Terry Bradshaw days, they had a team made up of a lot of mid to late round picks. They've always thrived and they continue to make the playoffs, always scrap for wins. You know, winning 12 to 13 games a year was a norm for them back then. So I think with players who were in your first and second rounds, you didn't have a lot of superstars. So they became accustomed to that. They found their mold, and that's what they went after. So when you got somebody like AB who comes and kind of blows the scene wide open, you know, and demands, hey, I know my worth. This is what I'm worth. This is what I want. And then you got somebody like Le'Veon who, you know, and I personally kind of side with him a little bit of how he operated. Not necessarily the things that he said and the way he went about his business, but he knows his worth. He tore his ACL. They franchise tagged him. He exceeded expectations. They franchise tagged him again. He exceeded expectations. He wanted the contract. And they threw $70 million at him. But a lot of people out there don't know this isn't baseball or basketball. The $70 million he'll probably never see, but the guaranteed money at first it was just $10 million, but then they went to $33. But then he ended up getting $35 from the Jets. So initially, it looks like he lost, but he actually won. He got $52 million, but he ended up getting $35 guaranteed, which is all he wanted, because if you sign the $70 million with Pittsburgh, you know, 2 years down the road, that actually reaches surface contract. So
it's a great,
you know,
point.
I think, you know, hats off to him. He actually won. So you know, optics, you know, sometimes look pretty bad from the outside looking in. But if you're a player and you know you're working, you know how the NFL operates as far as guaranteed money goes, and, you know, you sign $70 million, there's a 99.9% chance you won't see it all. So he did the right thing, in my opinion.
No, it's a really good point. I'll ask you one more on the NFL and the Steelers, then we'll head to LSU spring ball. How do you foresee the transition away from Ben Roethlisberger going when the day comes that he retires, whether it's 1 or 3 years from now? We know it's not that far away. Is this franchise in a place to turn the page?
Yeah, things are going to be a whole lot different. You know, I think Ben may have 2 or 3 left in him, 3 at the max, 2 at the minimum. You know, he doesn't take a lot of hits like he used to. He gets the ball out of his hand a whole lot faster than he used to. He's not hanging on to it that much. So, you know, I think when the time comes, you know, changes, I think Mason Rudolph or somebody later on down the road or somebody in free agency will kind of take over. I think the culture will change a whole bunch. Things will be different. Hopefully it will be trending up. But won't go down. But, you know, obviously that's kind of up in the air, and we have no idea what's going to happen. But, you know, as a former player of the organization, I hope the best for them. And I communicate often. I'm going to see Mike Tomlin next week for Pro Day, so it's going to be something I'm going to ask him about, obviously.
We're winding down with Justin Vincent. All right, let's get to LSU spring ball. And I had Gordy Rush on a couple of days ago. We had the same conversation. It was almost out of sight, out of mind for me that Cale Von Chasson was going to be ready to roll. So what are you seeing from the young man as he comes back from his knee injury, I guess, in early September?
You know, I watched him go through some motions yesterday at practice. I put my little boy out there. He looks good, man. Put on a little weight. Anybody who saw Cleveland before, he's a little thin. He had a small waist. He always had big legs, big thighs. But he's put on a little bit more mass. Good mass. He looks good. Runs around pretty well. I think they won't let him go full board until later in fall camp. But that young man has got all the capability and all the tools to be successful, and I think he'll be in the next line, be one of the great defensive linemen in LSU history.
When it comes to the secondary, everybody's fired up, understandably so, about the new number 7, Grant Delpit. But some of the things that Delpit had to say about your guy Derek Stingley Jr. yesterday were just mind-blowing. I mean, for him to say that he's got kind of the instincts and maybe some of the size of Greedy Williams, but an even tougher tackler and a more physical guy – is he about to have the type of freshman season that maybe we haven't seen during the DBU run?
Yeah, I definitely hope so. I wish I could take credit for him, but he plays defense and not offense, so I got to take the back seat on that one. But he is, you know, all what you want a DB to be. He's long, he's rangy, he's quick, he has natural instinct. I think, in my opinion,
he is a mixture of Corey West and Travis Daniel combined. Travis Daniel was more technique sound. Corey played a lot on his athletic ability and was very successful. He had a great NFL career and won a Super Bowl behind him. He's just balled up and won. He's athletic as all get out. He can technique savvy. You see him, you know, using the one-on-one push-ups like Coach Raymond teaches all the time. Don't turn around, shuffle your feet. I mean, you can see him doing all of that at the same time. It's pretty doggone amazing. I watched him do one-on-ones yesterday, and it was pretty spectacular.
Everybody's getting fired up about the kid wearing 24, not just number 7. Justin, we appreciate you fanning the flames here on the program. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll catch up soon.
All right, thanks, man.
He is Justin Vincent, development officer with the Tiger Athletic Foundation. Superlatives coming out of the mouth of Delpit when it comes to Derek Stingley Jr. All right, before we hit the end of the hour, things still seem to be on track weather-wise for LSU-Texas Southern Baseball, 6:30. The first pitch from the box, 6 o'clock, about 4 minutes from now, the pregame show. And here is the starting lineup that's been given out. And you'll notice some interesting twists and turns there. No Sol Garza amongst the changes, but it's going to be Smith playing at short, leading off, Watson in center field batting second, Duplantis in right field batting third, professional hitter, Chris Reed at the hot corner and cleanup, Daniel Cabrera left field batting fifth, Cade Beloso batting sixth, playing first base, Drew Bianco is going to DH and bat seventh, Mathis catching batting eighth, Hal Hughes playing second base and batting ninth. So still no Brant Broussard after an injury involved in a celebration from a walk-off this Friday against the Cal Bears. And Clay Moffitt will be your starting pitcher on the mound tonight. All right, we got to thank our guests, Brian Snow, Ken Trahan, Justin Vincent, all good enough to jump onto B2BS today. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be out at the Tap Room River Ranch 4 until 7 p.m. Come stop by when you can. For the famous Clint D., my name is Ben Love, and you've been listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.